you better recognize.
And I'm back on the scene and I hope you remember me. The new normal lets you all up in your memory. 3 p.m. on the dot, type of wine. You start dialing out cause the show about to start. Me and Big Phil get my old school with the feelers. You can't take the heat, man, get out of the casino. And if you call this whack, homie, leave it alone. Only dope calls get on right off the phones. Friday, my day, the end of the week. Another dope tinted intro, another fly beat. So I can flex my fur pose, rip the ill flow. Wide up in phones on a time like a show. You can bump your shit loud at any type of function. And you be another Big Phil production. Come chill with the crew, dope motherfuckers. 901, 1000 times is the number.
What is the game? It's the cat with the new normal. Wild matter of fact, I
think you better recognize.
What is the game? It's the cat with the new normal.
I gotta have this show. It keeps me going every day.
You're so good.
You're the best out there.
We need you out there.
Thank you for everything.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. You may have some feedback for us. We'd love to get it from you. I am never going to work for a loss. And so when I tell you that we need you to support us, it is important to remind everybody that this is a business for profit. That is what it is. I have always wondered around the holidays, like, am I doing the right thing? Don't risk your life. Don't fuck around. Because you're not going to find what you're looking for by doing. The way you find what you're looking for is to look within. The election is over. It's done. It did not matter who won the election. Life goes on. And the most important thing in life is you. Life is better than you think. You're better than you think. I wish you knew how good you are, how much you have to offer Gustavo Arellano right now.
And here I am, and well, fuck, man. I ain't going nowhere.
Exactly right.
So fuck you.
Gustavo, Joto, Jotito, Maricón, Marica, Puñal, Chavala.
That is a new pet.
Chavala.
Our velvet, these nuts.
Hello, Tom. It's him, Timson. It's Buffalo Clyde. Gustavo, why don't the Mexi-Clan come on to be funny no more? Because they're a bunch of fucking bitch-ass pussies.
What's the best part about Ask a Mexican segment with Gustavo Arellano?
I don't know.
You know, the guy is a pussy.
This is Juan in Seattle. Your guys' voices sound really good coming out of my speaker. Gustavo, he sounds like a progressive peggy.
Gustavo is...
Puto. It's Bernardo. Gustavo Puto. They shouldn't say puto. They should go Gustavo.
Qué lindo es tu pipí. Tan bello tu pipí. Redondito y paradito. Qué lindo es tu pipí. Cuando te pones pantalón y te tocas por ahí. Se me moja la canoa y te quiero más y más.
Thanksgiving at Gustavo's. Roadkill tortas and sopes. Gustavo's a queer. The Mexi-Clan are pussies.
This is the McDonald's self-order kiosk robot that replaced all those whiny wetbacks. What do I do in my off-time?
I have no idea.
I fucked the shit out of Gustavo's imaginary wife.
Hey, Gustavo, I'm just calling to see if your wife is going to renew her prescription to the Dick Insider.
It's giant. Gustavo, can we bring your wife in next month?
I know late January we're going to go to New York because I have business to do there, but she has been telling
fuck
me about
New
it.
New York,
nigga. Gustavo Arellano from the future. When I found out you signed her bazookas, I left that bitch.
Gustavo, can't wait to see that BMW.
Big Mexican.
I got the cure for cancer, Nate. Tell Gustavo to stop having gay sex and drink a lot of clean water.
Why do you not partake in smoking of the marijuana?
I don't know.
You do not need any mind-altering substance in order to give up the culo.
Gustavo Arellano is so gay that Liberace rolled over in his grave.
to anally accept his bourbon soap orange picky penis.
Hi, Gustavo. This is Paul Abdul, and I want to be your intern.
Hey, Tom. City of Cerritos here. Tell that fucking beaner we don't need his help promoting our great city.
Yes, thank you. That'd be cool.
Finally, can deport you, pedazo de mierda.
I'll jump back over the border, bitch.
Donald Trump here. Gustavo,
fuck,
I will pay somebody to pito you.
This is Larry King. I'm going to pito you.
You're just there to give me pleasure. Pum, 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 pum.
It's future Hall of Famer, Alberto Pujols.
Gustavo Arellano. How many home runs you got, pal?
589.
This is Eric Dickerson. Jeff Fish is a piece of shit.
It's future Hall of Famer, Fidel Castro.
I stayed alive for all those extra years. You know how I did that?
No.
I stayed in the sauna all day long.
Fidel Castro.
Gustavo.
Hey.
You remind me of Colin Kaepernick.
How so?
Los dos me la pelan.
Fidel Castro.
How's it going, Fidel?
You know, total dark and stinks a bit, but I'm okay.
This is Brian So. Go Giants.
This is Eric Dickerson. Jeff Fish is a piece of shit.
It's Flores Henderson. Mike Brady has AIDS and he's gay. By the fucking Fidel Castro.
This is Captain Weeky Lowell. Holy shit, I forgot to check the amount of gas left in Craftland on Columbia.
You need help with your professional microphone setup? Just call Ron Stefanovich. Stephen, Ron Stephen.
Teenage social justice warriors, teenage social justice warriors, teenage social justice warriors, and this with the keyboard.
On Friday night, in downtown LA, they're blocking all the traffic, saying he's the wrong way.
Drop, drop. My mind raced. I wondered when would I get paid?
Fuck,
this is Donald Trump.
Faggot.
I'm future Hall of Famer French Fry. And if you missed my punchline, you missed this.
I reckon I like some French fries potatoes. Mm-hmm.
This is Onion Ring, French Fry's cousin from Oregon.
Hi, I'm French Fry's Chinese cousin. I'm Stir Fry.
This is French Fry's cousin, Mexi Fry.
This is Papa's Fritas. The real cousin of French fries.
This is El Nino. El Nino is Spanish for the Nino.
This is your son, OG Brandon. What do a Hearst and me have in common?
I don't know.
We both get loaded from the back.
I called before. I'm pleading with you, Tom. Drop the charges on my boy. My boy's been in his room for a week. He shit his pants.
I'm from New York. How long did that take me?
It's Big Mac, Governor Chris Crisco, the Ted Falls. What does Bill Cosby and Santa Claus have in common?
I don't know.
Both come when you're sleeping. Why do you use Mexicans instead of rats in laboratory experiments?
I don't know.
Mexicans breed more and you don't get attached to them.
Hey, Tom, I finally took your advice and got myself a vasectomy. My sister took a big load off her chest.
Hi, Tom, it's Cousin Plas. I'm hiding in the bathroom from my wife so I can call in this black joke. Why do black people stink?
I don't know.
So blind people can hate. Yeah. Oh, shit, she's coming. She's coming.
Not all women are the same, you know that.
How so?
Some are worse.
He has a girl now.
He does.
Going steady. Not a Southern Belle, but since she's Mexican, I think she's a Taco Bell. How do you get a blowjob from a Mexican chick?
I don't know.
Cover your dick with leaves and let her go to town. You know, they have to blow those leaves.
Oh, man.
Jordan
the fourth.
Why did that happen? How did it happen?
This is the Tom Likas Show.
What the hell is that shit?
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
You dick.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at Tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me. And I'll be joined by a guest in a second. But right now, before I talk to you about who my guest is and why he's here, let's talk a little bit about, oh my goodness, we have finally figured out and are about to, on this entire show, we are making public the fact that the holiday party from hell is set. Tickets are now on sale. And the Christmas party, the holiday party from hell, is going to be on Thursday, the 15th of December. All right, so that's 13 days from today, 2 weeks from yesterday. And I hope you are ready to go, because we have got our venue, and we, by the way, we're not doing this at some cavernous place, so you really need to get your tickets right away if you're planning on going. It's going to be at Bar 53. Bar 53 is on the Sunset Strip next to the Whiskey A Go-Go. The address is 8909. Sunset Boulevard. And you can get all the details about our party by going to, are you ready for this? HolidayPartyFromHell.com or LetMeIn.Party. They will both get you there. And there is a limit to the tickets. And the people who are annual subscribers, you get tickets at half price. So if you are an annual Premium Tom subscriber, just be sure to include your username on your order form, and that's it. You will get the ticket for half price. So the tickets are $50, and for subscribers who are annual Premium Tom and Super Premium Tom subscribers, $25. That's the deal. Simple as that. And we're all going to be in tight, everybody. We're going to be in close. We're not going to have some cavernous place. We're going to all be together. It's very exciting. I'm very excited about it. Bar 53 is a killer, really cool venue. You can see the venue. And you can get the information about the event Thursday, December 15th, 8 to 11 p.m. at Bar 53. All right, so go to letmein.party or holidaypartyfromhell.com, and we plan to see you at our big event. That's going to be Thursday, December 15th. How great is that? The Holiday Party from Hell, I think, is my favorite party of the year, and we'd love to see you there. So get your tickets right now. I mean right now. I mean, do it. So there you go. Couldn't make it any simpler than that. WAP, wide open phones on the Tom Likas Show. You'll be calling in here at 901-3000-TOM for WAP. But a number you're going to be asking us about what we're about to talk about here. And so rather than waiting for that to happen, we decided to give you a complete rundown. Some of you may know that we were in court this morning. We were in court this morning because somebody out there has been harassing and stalking me. And it got to the point where this person started calling my personal private phone number. And how he got it, I still don't know, but I plan to find out. And when the calls came in on my cell phone, that was where the line had been crossed. You know, people try to call in here to the show. And we have blocked a number of people who have tried to call in who are here just to disrupt our business. They're not here as, you know, Trump supporters or people who disagree with what I have to say. These are people who are deliberately trying to interfere with our business. And when I got the phone calls on my cell phone, two nights in a row, that is when I rolled into action and I brought in the hammer. I knew where to go. I called Adam Sachs on the phone. I said, Adam, what can we do about this? And when I first told Adam the case, I don't think he had any idea what a dick this guy is and how he is so obstinate that it doesn't matter if we block his number, he'll use another number to call. He thinks he has the right to call people on their private phone numbers at 11 o'clock at night. And you don't have the right to do that, folks. Understand that in all these years I've been doing talk radio, I've had people who have stalked me, threatened me, but I have never had anyone step over the line like this guy. So you may find this hard to believe based on what you've heard about me. This is the first time I ever asked for and then got a permanent restraining order against a listener. It's the first time, which is pretty amazing because I've had a lot of dicks who have tried to fuck with me over the years, but they never went as far as this guy, in my opinion. And so once this happened, I went to Adam, and Adam in the beginning, Adam wasn't certain this guy was the big dick I thought he was, but I think with time and having to attempt to talk to this person's attorney, I think he kind of got the idea. Let's go back in time, Adam. When I first came to you with this, what did you think?
Well, you know, I'm very protective of you, Tom, of course,
yes,
as we all are.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a high-profile person, you attract people that love you and people that hate you. And I think that goes with the territory. And I've always respected the thing, especially you used to do, where you would have detractors call in.
Right.
You know, you were never afraid of that. You got these ditto heads on other radio shows that they only put through their big fans. But I think that you've always been very tolerant. On the other hand, and even talking about today, you've always been very transparent and honest about the show. And I've got to say, I've always been amazed when we do the different parties. You know, you're not like the snob in the VIP room. You're out on the floor, shaking hands, saying hello to everybody, you know, loving the fans. And it comes from the heart, you know. So for someone to really rub you wrong is a big deal. And
I'm a big boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've argued with callers. And
yeah.
I've argued with people who've done business with us.
For sure.
You know, I believe me, I will defend my turf. But never have I ever been harassed this way by somebody who is just clearly, in my view, a deranged fan.
Well, I mean, it's all, you know, fun and games. I know that he was, you know, clogging up the phone lines, calling, you know, to Dino a million times, trying to get in or whatever.
Right.
But the thing that I found, which was, as you said, an absolute crossing of the line, was contacting you on your personal number at your house. I just think that's wrong. That's too much. You know, that's a real invasion of your privacy.
By the way, we just found out that in his declaration, this guy lied.
Oh, yeah.
He lied.
Perjured himself left and right.
Yes. And among the lies, his own attorney brought in his phone bill to prove he hasn't been calling. And we got the restraining order, so we didn't really need to use this piece of paper or look at it. And since we were there, we looked at it, and on one page is three calls to my private number in a row.
And this isn't the bill that he was saying proved he didn't call.
Right.
That's the joke.
Right.
He's not exactly proving up his own case.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. That was too much.
But our case was so strong.
Yeah.
And my opinion of this guy is he was so weak. We were overprepared. We had so much material.
Yeah.
And we didn't need to use half of it.
And the thing is, I you know, did reach out to his lawyer. And, you know, we're professionals. He wasn't a bad guy. I tried to talk to him. And if he was smart, he would have worked out some kind of a compromise. And he didn't. He, you know, go for broke. He went the whole nine yards. And you could see how the judge just had, you know, less and less patience with him as the hearing went on. And essentially, the judge said to him, you know, what's your justification for this? What's your rationale? I mean, if I want to see this, this is the judge talking to this harasser. You know, if I want to see this in as positive a light as I can, I want to be fair to you. The judge tried to be fair. What's your excuse? What's your reason for getting on Tom Likas like this? And in the end, he really didn't have one, you know?
Well, the reason he gave was that he had every right to do it under the Constitution.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had freedom.
Free speech, yeah.
Free expression, yes. He had the right to do this.
All right. Well, that's confused.
That's beyond confused. Everybody knows about harassing phone calls, the laws that have been made, going back to the 60s. It's like 50 years of laws protecting you against these harassing phone calls.
No, I know you're the king of prank calls.
And I am.
I give you a lot of credit. You've had some hilarious ones.
I am. And in my case, generally, when I have made prank calls, I never call people at home, never.
Yeah.
I never call their cell phones.
Well, you call like into radio shows.
I call into radio shows. And I have something to say relating to the topic, so the screener puts me through, and then I will say something that I consider to be funny or inside to the host that'll make him crack up, and that's it. And I, by the way, you know, we do be funny. People can call and make funny noises. They can do whatever they want.
Right.
It's not like we don't give people these venues to do this stuff.
Right.
But to call me at home 11 o'clock at night.
Several times in a row.
Several times in a row?
That, you know, when you talk about the law, the law of harassment is a pattern like that. And when we showed him calling the show, it wasn't three calls or five calls. It was 20 calls.
Right.
I mean, that's sick. That's twisted. And that reminds me, and I've seen cases like this where the guy is obsessed with the girl. She breaks up with him, and then he calls her again and again and again. I had one guy who called like 145 times over a weekend. I mean, there's just no excuse for that. That's free speech. You got to be a moron to believe that.
Now, we were not allowed to broadcast the proceedings, but I will tell you that the judge, who showed a great deal of empathy for our case, and
she was tough.
She was tough.
She didn't hand it over to me. We worked hard.
We worked hard, but what I'm saying is she empathized with our case. She didn't just blow us out of the courtroom and say, "Well, you're this guy. You've got a show. We brought in an attorney. Blah blah." It was not like that at all. She was, she gave the other side a lot of opportunities to say why they had a good reason
Absolutely.
To call me.
Well, you got to admit, the justice system is trying to be fair. I mean, at least in theory.
Right.
I mean, they really kept repeating it. Like, why'd you do this? How'd you do this? How can you justify this? And here, you know, with his lawyer, it almost seemed like they didn't prepare.
Right.
They're sitting there going, well, oh, come on, you know, it was just a joke, you know.
Right.
I was like, what, is that the second grade answer? Come on.
Well, it's just a joke is, it's not a defense.
Yeah, stupid.
You know, if you have a good joke, you can't just dial someone randomly and keep calling them at home or on their cell phone.
Right.
That's illegal. You can't do that.
Now, I mean, again, with the detractors, and my impression has been, and we could ask Dino about this, you know, when you get someone calling who's a detractor, you don't filter them out. This isn't Rush Limbaugh. You actually put them first.
Right.
Bring them on. Come on.
That's exactly right.
So I don't think this guy needed to act this way. It was crazy.
Right. No, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, again, this guy, just for the record, has been calling our show since the first year in 2012.
Right.
Now, he claims he hasn't called at all in between 2012 and 2016. I don't care what his excuse is. 2012 is the first time we were aware of this guy. I've never heard of him. I never knew his name.
He said he never met you. I mean, I thought he came to one of the parties or something.
Right. Well, he was telling people he did know me, but then when he was under oath, suddenly he admitted that he doesn't know me and has never known me.
Right.
And that's what I've been saying all along. This guy is, my opinion, demented and delusional because I don't know him. I've never met him. I didn't know who he was or what he did. I only know he's been trying to make prank calls to the show. We tolerated that for 4.5 years.
Yeah, by the way, I got to mention that. I give you a lot of credit for patience. I mean, you eat a lot of crap before you get mad. You know? And you put up with this since, what, 12?
Right.
I mean, that's years.
Well, because, again, I'm not... Keep in mind, I have never had to actually go to court with a lawsuit. I've always been prepared. I lawyer up.
Right.
But many times, all you have to do is have a lawyer, and you've intimidated the other side into walking away.
Sometimes, if you write, you know, the right letter at the right time, that kills it right in the beginning.
Absolutely. This is the first time I've ever had to threaten a lawsuit. It is the first time I have ever applied for and gotten a restraining order.
Right. By the way, that's really worth mentioning, too. I was kidding around with you about our president-elect and his 4,000 lawsuits or whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's an extraordinary number of lawsuits, even for someone, you know, with all kinds of wide-ranging businesses. And, you know, I had the impression you're not litigious at all.
No.
I mean, you have a couple of cases we've heard about, like that Alaska case or whatever.
Right.
But that was actually against you.
It was against me, and it was 15 years ago.
Yeah, but considering all the years I've known you, you've had me at your disposal. I don't ever remember you asking me to file anything against anybody.
No. No, I'm really not that kind of person. I'm
right.
Not litigious. I'm not looking for opportunities to
crush
you.
Exactly what I mean, yeah.
Everybody wants to say, in this particular case, who's been commenting on it, there are a lot of people have said, well, I'm crushing the little guy. I'm
right.
Taking advantage. This is bullshit. I don't do this.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely true.
But I'm doing it this time because I not only want to put this guy on notice, but his half-dozen friends who are involved in this venture with him. He's first on the list, and I'm coming after the rest. Everybody
else.
By the
way, that's absolutely amazing to me, too, that as we started sort of sifting through this and I made some contact with him, he's got these other buddies who are, like, doing this also. I mean, seriously, like a group of obsessed people. And I mean, it's great if they want to listen to your show, if they hate your show and they don't want to listen, but I'm not sure what they want. It's like they want to listen, but they're haters, you know?
Right.
But they know every detail.
Yeah.
They're quoting stuff to me from shows you and I did 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't even remember.
Right.
It's like, wow.
They listen every day.
Yeah.
They're listening now.
I'm sure they are.
They know everything we talk about. And they are obsessed.
And they're
all
commenting on it, and they're posting, you know, what did Sachs really mean? What did Leica say? Unbelievable.
Yeah. And
if you hate us, tune out, for God's sake.
Yeah, there's no reason to be listening. But there are people out there, believe it or not, these are guys, like, in their 40s,
yeah.
Up to 50 years old.
By the way, these are not gamers, 22 years old,
no.
With nothing to do in their parents' basement or whatever. These are grown men, and it's astounding. Some of them
right.
Were married or are married, and they're with careers in their 40s. Unbelievable.
Who spend their lives trying to call in here, trying to interrupt the show in some way, and then meeting online to discuss all the things I do wrong in my business and the show, whatever.
It's bizarre.
So the bottom line here is this, and again, Adam, you do this every day. This is my first time doing this. What was your take on the way the whole thing went down?
Well, I have to say that the star of the day, aside from you and me, I guess, was Dino. Dino came, by the way, dressed to impress. I have never seen Dino in a suit before.
Yes.
He was looking very sharp,
and
suit and tie.
By the way, the judge called him, quote, credible.
Well, I was just getting to that. We needed to establish the pattern of calling the show, you know, many, many times and so forth. And as of course we know, Dino's the call screener, and he is the one who's had the most contact. Now, we were mostly going to let that go as long as Dino had that guy under control, but the big tripwire is when he called you at your house. But aside from that, we still had to prove the underlying problem. And so I called Dino as a witness. And, you know, some people get all nervous. They get all twitchy. Dino is cool as a cucumber. We went over the testimony. He was perfect. And then he explained what happened, and he explained how he knew, and he recognized the voice and all this kind of stuff. That was, you know, when I questioned him, then this harasser's lawyer questioned him, couldn't get to him at all, didn't lay a hand on him, and then Dino stepped down, and then the judge talked about Dino's testimony, and she said exactly what, this is one tough judge.
Yeah.
And she said it like it was, you know, she says, you know, your Mr. D'Amelio's testimony was extremely credible, and I believe him, I believe what he said. There were some comments then that the harasser made that contradicted what Dino said.
Right.
And she said to him, I'm sorry, I believe the screener. I think you're lying, sir. your explanation doesn't make sense. I mean, there was right. a couple of different things where she had to choose between Dino and this other guy, and it was Dino hands down.
Right. Exactly right.
Dino looked like a lawyer.
And, by the way, Dino made a point of mentioning, and I like the way he slid it into his testimony, that he has been a call screener for 16 years and that he works for the second largest radio broadcasting right. company in the world. So
there was even a comment made with respect to that. The other lawyer objected to Dino's testimony, saying that he wasn't an expert at call screening or whatever, or voice recognition. And the judge said, "You know something? I think he is."
Right.
But she heard that 16-year thing. That was it.
By the way, I trained Dino.
All right.
Back in the day, including calling him on the carpet many times, Jane.
Did you come in here?
You thought that was a woman, did you? So the point is,
I like when the caller would start saying, "Well, I told your screener," and you'd say, "Okay, Dino, come on in here."
Right. The fact is that Dean was he went through my screening boot camp.
Yes.
And
the Leica School of Hard Knocks.
He is in demand. He worked for Fox Television on that Simpsons live call-in
right.
feature they did. He's worked at a particular radio station here in town now for several years. He worked for the various places I've been, Westwood One, CBS, been there. So who would be a better expert on call screening than Dean D'Amelio?
Absolutely. And, I think that I don't want to say it was a slam dunk. I was a little nervous going in. But between his testimony, where he explained, the background of the screening and whatnot, and then just the circumstance of this guy calling you and being threatening and so forth, it's done. And he's going to burn now. We got the restraining order against him. That is something that is in his file on the National Police computer, which is called CLETS, that lasts for years. It's a permanent restraining order. He's not allowed to own firearms, and so that's a big issue in itself. And, if you get pulled over for a speeding ticket, this is flashing on the computer of the police, so they're super aware of you. And if he makes any attempt, whatever, directly or indirectly, to bother you, Tom, at work or at home or anywhere else, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He's arrested and charged with a very serious offense.
Yeah. By the way, for people who are listening and for whom a restraining order might be relevant at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you need one, right, Tom, you're an average guy.
Right. It could happen to anybody.
For sure.
And now I have to take my restraining order and I have to go to the three police departments
right.
that surround where I work and live. And I have to have copies on file.
Right.
And literally, if this guy calls me, or if he's within 100 yards of me at home, in my studio, or in my car,
right.
I can call 911 and they're going to pick him up.
Right. The way it works, generally, the police come on a scene and they try to figure out who's at fault and who started it and all that. In this case, you show the police the restraining order and the case is closed. He's arrested and that's it.
Yeah.
So it really, makes it quick. And we talk about restraining orders a lot of times, in the context of divorces. I think a lot of women get them unjustifiably to hurt the husband and
right.
hurt his custody. But I think yours is, the proper use, obviously, of a restraining order. And this is not a domestic one. It's a civil one because you're not related or, you didn't, obviously date, or he's not your brother or whatever. He's not a family member. So it's not a domestic one. It's a civil. But this is the proper use of it. And, this is something that's going to follow him. And we're going to come after him now for fees, which he should be paying your fees. I think that, whatever I charged you was, something you shouldn't have had to pay. He
right?
should have to pay.
Of course.
And the other guys who are involved in this group and these other people have to be on notice.
Right.
I would say, Tom, speaking for celebrities, and I consider you a celebrity, of course, the public has this mentality that, they have the right to fuck with you,
right.
And that's
but you don't have a right to privacy.
Yeah, that's what I mean, fuck with you. There's the classic example of, taking these telephoto lenses, especially of female celebrities, and they're like, in the bathing suit or, topless or some nonsense, and they get a picture of them, very embarrassing through a fence or something ridiculous. And, when you talk about just the experience of being in public or whatever, and maybe you're having dinner with your family and someone, comes over to you, "Oh, can I have your autograph?" or whatever, I think that people have to have some humanity of it. I think that most celebrities that I've met or approached or whatever were fairly gracious. I think you've been very gracious. I've seen you in many different contexts, you know, being given an autograph or, you know, people want to take a selfie, you know. I mean, I think that's fine. But I think people have to also, you know, recognize, like, this isn't a joke. If you're at your house, it's 10 o'clock at night, you know, give me a break. What is he? He's got heat. First of all, I'm very disturbed that he has your personal phone number.
Right.
And if I, you know, got some celebrity's phone number, I would throw it away. I mean, I'm going to actually call them at night and start saying stupid things to them.
Right.
That is really messed up.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that it's really unfair. I mean, I've seen a lot of these examples. You know, you see these, you know, movie stars and they're very beautiful or whatever, but they have these crazy stalkers showing up at their house or something. That's horrible. And there have been examples, like Rebecca Schaefer is a famous one, and there are others, where someone literally, she was on a TV show.
She was a sitcom actress in the 80s.
My Sister Sam, I think it was called.
Yes.
And this asshole guy was from, like, Arizona, and he got her information, and he came to her house, and rang the door, and she came to the door, and he shot her dead.
Right.
That's it.
In fact, he pretended he was a flower delivery.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Came over with a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, she came to the door. I mean, I don't know. She didn't have, like, you know, people imagine celebrities have 100 bodyguards, you know. You don't have, like, the Secret Service or whatever. She rang her doorbell, and he just killed her. And there's that guy that killed John Lennon under, you know, he was also a fan under similar circumstances. And, you know, the word fan, Tom, comes from fanatic.
Right. Yes.
Whenever you say, I'm your biggest fan, I'm your biggest fan, it may not be a compliment, you know?
Right. Well, again, you know, you might be a fan of, you know, a baseball player, or you're a fan of D'Angelo Russell, or a fan of whoever.
Sure.
You do not have the right to walk on the basketball court.
Damn right.
And high-five him. You don't have the right to do that.
People get confused about that.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, something that's funny about basketball, because it's so damn close. You know, when they're sitting on those chairs that are actually on the side of the court or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this one guy, this was years ago, from New York, who would stand up and, like, scream at the players, and he's cursing at them and stuff.
Right.
I think they curtailed that to some degree. But it's remarkable, you know, how people cross that line. And ultimately, it's like, okay, well, if you met this person, what do you want? What do you want from them? They're supposed to make you rich, or they're supposed to make you famous, or they're supposed to, you know, shake your hand or give you an autograph, or you have the right to hurt them, or, like, pull some of their hair or something. I mean, like, you know, take things from them. I mean, come on. I think that there has to be an understanding of limits and so forth. And I respect that you know, weren't this trigger-happy guy, and you really aren't a bully. You don't beat up on the little guy.
No.
But here's somebody who absolutely had no respect and didn't know when to stop. That's what the judge said to him.
Right.
You just kept going and going and going. For example, you blocked his number, so then he kept calling. So the judge said to him, sir, after he blocked your number, don't you think that meant something?
Right. What does that tell you?
Isn't it clear that he didn't want to hear from you? And he's like, well, I didn't realize, you know.
Right.
Come on. Come on, stop it, you know? So I think it was pretty intense what we did. I was happy to win, and it was a team effort.
Yeah,
Dino.
We should point out, you won this case for me.
Hell yeah.
I mean, that's...
I was proud to help you, Tom. Yeah. I always do. I think, by the way, that's 5 for 5, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
If you're 6 for 6, but who's counting?
It's a lot. It's a lot. But fascinating. And by the way, I just want to say, because I said nothing when I was there, but there's nothing more pleasing than to look at this group of losers, my opinion, of course, look at this group of losers after they've just lost.
Oh, dear.
You know, because they were so arrogant.
Yeah.
In fact, they were saying on one Facebook page, they were planning on going to a bar to celebrate their victory.
They actually said that.
They actually thought they were going to win.
It's true. He told me, by the way, when I spoke to him after we initially filed, he literally said to me, I spoke to him on the phone, and I said, okay, dude, that's enough, back off, and we'll let this slide. And he said, oh, yeah, well, it's just starting now, and you're going to be sorry, and I'm going to turn this on you, and you harassed me, and he just went down the list, and he actually posted, after their big win against us today that they were going to go to some club or some bar, meet all the friends, and they were going to have a champagne celebration.
Right.
And when they walked out of there, it was like it finally hit them for the first time.
Right.
They really thought they were going to win.
That's right.
It's amazing. Just goes to show you.
It is amazing. Unbelievable.
Crazy stuff.
Yes.
So I think that the lesson here, and I think you would agree with this, Tom, I think you're very open to fans. I think you've always have been, and I think we love the listeners. I love the listeners, honestly, and we're trying to give them a good product and everything. And I just think, if they're gonna really come to the parties and get in touch and stuff, just be human for God's sake.
Right.
Just be respectful. Treat people the way you want to be treated. I don't know where this other thing comes from. I mean, it's incredible. The things that are written, it's just this whole trolling thing, and the things that people write are absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
They just don't know when to stop.
Right. Well, this is going to give them a kind of a guidepost. Like, when you've gotten this legal paperwork,
yeah,
this might be a good time to stop what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a good time to back off when you're getting a restraining order.
Because I'm telling you, I just want everybody to understand, one phone call, and I'm calling 911 and putting this guy behind bars,
yeah,
and that's it. I don't care if he calls my home. I don't care if he calls here. He is forbidden to do that now. It's in writing.
Yep.
Judge's signature. And I'm telling you, if I hear from him, or if I hear from any of his cohorts, I'm rolling right into action. And my goal is to get this guy behind bars if he violates the order. And there's no way I'm letting anything slide. There will be no settlements. And the joke of this thing is that his attorney tried to settle this with us and was completely obstinate about any of the terms of a settlement.
That's the crazy part. They always approached it as though they had the upper hand or something, you know?
Right.
They were going to dictate the terms to us.
Right.
It's like, what are you guys doing? And by the way, talk about doubling down. After he got served with the restraining order, and you remember we had the server on, and he was like such a crazy person with that and everything. And then he was posting stuff on the internet about me, nasty, about you.
Yeah.
And just like, didn't you see what was going on here? And you're doubling down.
Yeah.
You're going to add fuel to the fire. So when his attorney called me, I said, your client's been saying really disgusting things about me. I'm not so sure I'm in the mood to settle with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, well, you need to settle.
Why?
Really? I'm fascinated that you believe that.
Yeah.
So God help these people. They're so delusional.
Yeah. Well, unlike certain presidential candidates, I really am not a settler. And when it came right down to it, I did not settle. My response essentially is, fuck you, buddy. I'll be there at 8:30 in the morning. I don't care how inconvenient it is. I will be there with bells on, ready to go.
Well, I don't want to do it every day for you, Tom, but we got to do it sometimes, obviously.
Well, again, I really do believe that you do this one time, and the rest of the perpetrators and the suspects out there will scatter. They will not.
That was the famous line from what you're talking about. That was from Napoleon, apparently. I looked it up.
It had been altered for talk radio.
Well, let me tell you the original.
Okay, tell me the original.
Napoleon said, Bonaparte, he said that every once in a while you have to shoot one of the generals dead as a warning to the others.
Right.
That was the deal.
Now, I heard
you fixed it.
I heard a right-wing talk show host one day say that she had the solution to the welfare problem.
Oh, God.
Shoot the first person in line at the welfare office in the head, and the rest will scatter. And she was the first fill-in host I ever heard of who was fired in the middle of a fill-in show.
In the middle of the show?
Yes. She was taken out.
Oh, God.
Yes. But anyway, it's really true. If one of these roaches is going to try to have their way with me, the only way to stop the other roaches from heading for the sugar bowl is to blow his head off, not literally, but figuratively, of course. And so that's what we're doing here. We're going to do everything we can to restrain this guy from harassing me or haranguing me or stalking me in any way. And it's a message to all the other motherfuckers out there, and there's about six of you, and we know your names. We know where you all live. Some of you have been served with paperwork by us.
And you know who you are.
You know who you are, and I want you all to know. Now, what I did today is just the beginning. I'm going after you guys one after another. with every legal means available in my arsenal, I will use whatever we have. That is it. Now, let me take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk a bit to you about, which we have discussed before, but I want people to understand this, that a restraining order, while we joke about them on Adam's appearances on Tuesdays on the show,
we sometimes try to joke about them.
Well, yes, but the reality is you don't have to tolerate a lot of the stuff that goes on out there, and we'll talk about that. By the way, it's Friday, and yes, we have WAP, but Adam and I won in the courtroom today, and yeah, we couldn't resist talking about it, and I know you wanted to know about it.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank at 901-3000-TOM. It's WAP. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Now, you know, back in earlier times of my radio career, I received phone calls or letters from people harassing me.
Really?
And I called the police. And I got various answers when these things happened. But the most common answer I got was, "Well, there's really nothing we can do until he does something, sir."
Fabulous.
Really nothing we can do. So I said, all right, so when I'm dead, I'll call 911 right. And I'll turn him in.
Now that he's done something.
Right. I must say that the availability of a restraining order, if you are being threatened, whether it's domestic violence or otherwise, when you are being threatened, these are incredibly useful. And in fact, I think more useful than a single call to 911, the idea that you've got this paperwork that protects you on an ongoing basis.
Right.
So, if somebody wanted to get a restraining order, how would they do that?
Well, you know, there's two different contexts. There's domestic, which is, you know, between a husband and a wife or boyfriend, girlfriend. This is like, you know, the crazy boyfriend that won't leave you alone or whatever. And we've talked about how they're misused a lot of times in family law cases. And then there's the civil, which is between people that are not related. That's like your coworker or your next-door neighbor who's doing something stupid or whatever. And it's amazing how many people that, you know, hardly knew each other end up getting into these weird situations. And so you can go to court and you have to, you know, demonstrate that you have a real problem. You have a real fear. A lot of people try to do it themselves. We saw a lot of people without lawyers in the courtroom today. I have to tell you, most of them lose. It has to be framed in a very specific way, and there are procedural things that have to be followed, so I certainly recommend that you have counsel. You know, they are something that get misused, but in the right context and used properly, they are very, very useful. I mean, one of the things that you hope... when you have someone who's bothering someone, you know, maybe they're like acting stupid or they're being emotional, when they get served with the papers and they have a real threat of going to jail, that maybe that snaps them out of it. And they, you know, they wake up and they cut the nonsense. I mean, you would really hope that that's the reaction. You know, some of these people that have gone to like the celebrity's house, like poor Cher. Cher had like so many stalkers and they were like, people were coming and jumping through the windows and guys that thought that she was going to marry them and all kinds of ridiculously delusional things. But you hope when the guy has the cops, you know, serving him and he's got this real threat of going to prison and fines and everything else, that he finally stops it. That's really what we want. And it is amazing how far people go. And we really do not have a society where you have a social contract anymore, that people know limits.
Right.
And that's what ends up happening. So this is a way of having the courts intervene when you're in danger.
I really like it. Of course, I wouldn't want to be served with one.
Well, I don't think you do this kind of nonsense to anybody.
I don't.
You're very mellow. You believe like when it's over, you know? I don't think you're hassling an ex-girlfriend,
no.
You
know? No. I told you, well, the best thing I can do to the exes is to live a better life than they do.
Well,
and that's it.
That's the mature thing to do. So you're not exactly, you know, following after and hassling anybody. We're talking about something else.
I understand.
I saw this thing. The guy wrote, I have trouble communicating with my girlfriend, except she's not my girlfriend yet. So he's like following some chick home who doesn't communicate with him, you know, because she isn't yet his girlfriend. So that's the problem. I think people don't understand sometimes, you know, what it means and what you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to stop. But anyways.
Right.
There are consequences.
Yeah. But calling 911 is a waste of time.
By the way, people always tell me, oh, I went to the cops. I did this with the cops. The police are very, very busy. They really are in a very tough situation. And if you just show up and you start, you know, telling them your story, you know, they're really not ready for it. They're not prepared to deal with it.
No.
I mean, they're overwhelmed with murders and rapes and everything else. So I think this thing that you're saying where the person, you know, is going to the cops, you better have a restraining order in your hand.
Right.
And you say, officer, here it is. Here's what he said. Here's what he did.
Yeah.
I need help.
That's what's got to happen. That's what's going to happen.
Anything else is not going to work for you.
That's right. That's right. All right. Adam, a great job.
Always a pleasure to help you, Tom.
People hear Adam here, they don't know what it's like to see him in the courtroom. It was pretty incredible.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I don't think you missed a trick. Not a trick.
She was tough. The judge was a killer. But, you know, I try to present it the way they want to hear it and what they're, you know, interested in. It's very, very common, and this happened today, where the judge asked the lawyer, or she asked the harasser a question, and he answers some other question, you know?
Right.
Like he doesn't answer what she's asking.
Right.
And that just pisses them off. I'm very careful. And the judge is saying to me, what about this? What about that? And here's the answer. That's what you're interested in. You know, I'm trying to cater to what they're asking very specifically.
Right.
And, you know, I think when they hear all that, they say, look, who's organized here? Who's got it together? Who knows the case? Obviously, it's this guy. That's me. And after that, you're basically, you know, leading them to do, you know, what you needed them to do.
Right.
There are a lot of lawyers that piss the judges off. They're like, you know, kind of fence with them or something.
Right.
That makes no sense. You got to be out of your mind.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you do better saying as little as possible. Nothing if you can.
Staying on topic, yeah.
And, but, you know, leave everything to your lawyer.
Yeah, you didn't get to talk very much, right?
I said forward. Total. That was it.
But who's counting?
But who's counting? Well, it was hard to forget. It was only four words.
It's always a pleasure helping you, Tom.
It was great. And, again, there are people who need, in this case, a restraining order. Adam does a variety of things. But you know how great it is to go home at night knowing that if somebody's going to harass you or show up at your front door, you are protected.
Yep.
And that's the most important thing here.
Well, all I can say, Tom, is anyone fucks with you is going to get hurt.
And
that's my bond.
We have a very short list, but those people are going to be in for... Let's just say, using every legal means, they're going to be in for a world of hurt, all of them. Just a matter of time. So, Adam, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
For sure. Anytime.
WAP on the Tom Likas Show, 901-3000. Tom, by the way, Adam, how can people call you and get a restraining order? How can they
do that? I'm going to save that for Tuesday.
Hey, you can mention.
Okay, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out at adamlawyer.com, www.adamlawyer.com, and on Facebook. And you can also email me, adam@adamlawyer.com. And by the way, because we are transparent, I have posted on my Facebook the papers from Tom's case today, if anyone is curious about what such things look like.
Yeah, exactly. You can see exactly what my restraining order looks like. By the way, last time we posted the temporary restraining order, how many people looked at it?
Oh, thousands.
3,500 people.
Is that right? All right.
Yes.
I didn't double check that.
People want to see this stuff.
Yes, you were very popular.
So it is posted on my Facebook page. So,
it's on yours as well now. That's good.
Wherever you post it.
Well, I posted it on mine, but I don't know.
No, you also posted it on the Tom Likas Show page.
Okay, I think I tried anyway.
And I'm looking at it.
Oh, good, okay.
Yeah. We'll make sure it's there.
How many hits? Jeez.
3,500 for the first one. And now that we roll over into the permanent restraining order, and that one's good for, the way they define permanent is 3 years.
Yeah, okay. Permanent is kind of a strange word.
Yes. I don't even know why they call it permanent, but okay. A permanent restraining order. And so that means that until 2019, this guy can't say boo to me, or whether in person or on the phone or whatever. And that's it for him. Oh, I love it. All right. Your calls on WAP coming up, 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. Dial me now. It's 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
Something in the air, because for the second time this week, a female teacher is going to jail for having sex with her students.
Please, she, if this is a good-looking one, it's a miracle.
Yeah, this is a good-looking one. The one earlier this week clearly deserved it, because she didn't have the looks at all. But this one's not half bad. She's a 31-year-old kindergarten teacher, by the way. She didn't sleep with one of her kindergarten students. She got busted for having sexual intercourse with a child age 16 or older.
Man, if she'd have just waited 2 years, none of this would be happening.
Right. Well, she'll be spending the next 2 years in prison.
Wow.
So I don't know. Maybe this is a new thing.
I guess the victim was a former St. Peter student, now in high school.
Yeah.
So that means he's like 18 and a senior, probably, I'm guessing.
Yeah. The suspect has been released in the fatal shooting of former USC star Joe McKnight. We don't have the details on this, but can't quite figure out
how you
shoot somebody, especially when they're on the ground, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. The police have said in the parish, this, of course, happened in Louisiana, that was false information that got released yesterday, that he stood over the guy and shot him.
Right.
All the shell casings were found inside the vehicle. So basically, it looks like Joe McKnight had walked up to the passenger side window, and Louisiana probably has a stand your ground type situation. He may have come at him in a threatening way. And the guy shot him three times. So
the guy's in the car. Joe McKnight's outside the car. And
correct.
There's some sort of a threat.
Correct. It was a road rage incident, mm-hmm. which the guy actually got out of the car, meaning Mr. McKnight at this point, and apparently approached this 54-year-old guy. They also have stated clearly that this is not a race thing at all. Don't make it into one. So we'll see what happens. This is... Believe me, they don't release a guy like this unless, you know, they had something and they had to let him go.
All right. We reported yesterday that Canadian cops are torturing DUI suspects with Nickelback music if they bust you. Now Nickelback has put an end to that.
I know. It's like, listen, everybody else loves it. So there's four people in Nickelback that don't.
It is the first time Nickelback's been in the news since I can remember.
Since forever.
Right. Exactly. Well, but they put the kibosh on it.
They don't like being the butt of the joke.
I don't see how they can stop that from happening. I mean, it's not happening in a public place or anything. I don't understand how they can have that. See, this is the thing about Nickelback. They've got some weird power.
Believe me, this is the first time you'll ever witness something so hated universally that sells out stadiums. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Somebody's buying Nickelback stuff.
Right.
Somebody.
I don't know.
People are.
Finally, Cat Williams has avoided jail time. 5 years probation in that gun and drug case that started with an alleged baseball bat beatdown.
By the way,
Cat
his probation
no contest, right?
has a lot of strict conditions.
I would imagine that, you know, he's going to fuck this up.
Well, I hope he doesn't because, you know, he's going to pay thousands of dollars in fines, but then he's got to submit to evaluations for anger management, substance abuse, mm-hmm. and impulse control, and he also has to stay away from this body.
Yeah, well, he's got trouble staying away from trouble.
Right.
That's his thing. So he's got to do that for 5 years. Good luck, Kat.
By the way, Kat has to – this is big, too. After this decision had come down – Cat has to surrender all his guns.
Oh, no. What is Cat Williams without his guns?
This is terrible.
This is terrible.
Give Kat the gun.
That's right.
Give Kat the guns.
There's plenty more at newsforguys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryAndDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.